You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is open up for Madison! A thing of beauty! Johnson. For the 60!
Hello there, welcome to another new Spurs Order podcast under the Touchline Fracker banner. I'll be your host once again, X-Pac, and I'll be joined once again by a tired, but maybe not so tired as last week, Yao Bruce Basia, aka Scott Hall.
Yeah, not so tired as I was last week. A bit more fresh. I think what fills me with joy is that Spurs are not playing for another 10 days. Because they've pissed me off. But, you know, we'll get into that.
We will. Yeah, we were hoping to enjoy the last of our Easter holidays. It didn't quite end up like that. We didn't even, by the sounds of it, get to enjoy much of the whole Easter holidays.
Yeah, it was lovely.
In general, to be honest. Very busy times if you're a parent. But, lo and behold, let's get into it. So, I believe you predicted a draw.
I think I predicted either a 2-2 draw. I think I had us as a 3-1 victory.
Go, okay.
And neither of those things came to fruition. We got absolutely... You know what? After about 20 minutes, things felt fine. And then we had 10 minutes of mayhem. And then it carried on into the second half, another 10 minutes of mayhem. And the game was done. Couldn't believe it.
We were just taking players off again. It was like, was it Conte at the Emirates all over again?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. Just clapped. I was like, wow, we got absolutely beat up. And we've said it in the group, you know, there's been a huge back and forth. But for me, the players, shambles. That midfield and the attack were an absolute shame. I know the defence conceded 4 goals, but, you know, some things they are just unfortunate with, you know. But our actual midfield, they should listen to the words of this podcast and really take a long look in the mirror, because that was an utter shambles of a show.
Were you happy with the starting lineup initially? I expected Sarr to start personally. We obviously went with Bentancur, Bissouma, Madison. I think you were asking for Højbjerg to start, funny enough.
Yeah, and I said it should be Højbjerg and Bentancur.
Okay. Okay, yeah, fair enough. I mean, considering I thought Newcastle... I didn't expect them to press us as high as they did. And yeah, that would have been a game for Bentancur had they not have pressed. I think, knowing what we know now, he may have even suffocated in that press. But I mean, yeah, who knows? He may have even done better than who was... 6 at Bissouma. But talk me through that first half anyway, because you did say we started well. I agree. I thought we were beating their press well out wide, by finding outlets out wide in the initial stages. We were looking like we were in more control than Newcastle. But yeah, how did you feel that kind of first half played out?
I think the first half, you could split it in almost to two halves in the actual first half. Start off well, Don't know what went wrong, you know, attacking wise. We seem to stagnate a bit. And then out of nowhere, you know, Mickey's covering Romero and he completely slips. And it's just like, oh my God. Like, and the slip was so damaging. It wasn't even like, oh, he slipped, you know, and other players can recover. He slipped and literally it's Isak and the goal. Well, we had no chance. But then minutes later, Porro, honestly, what are you doing? Like, why would you blindly kick the ball backwards like that? And obviously, he's put Mickey in an absolute shocking position. He slipped again. Gordon,
did he slip?
Slipped that or fell or went down too easily. Either way,
I think he might have gone down a bit too easily.
He's trying to recover for his teammates absolutely fluffing their lines. And very so, true. You know, it's 2-0. And their heads went. And that's what annoyed me the most. Like, 2-0 is not the end all be all in football. We know that 2-0 is arguably one of the worst scores in football because all it takes is the opponent to get one back and, you know, your tails are up again. But no, 2-0, we basically handed them the game. And like I said, that midfield in the first half and even in the second half, the majority of them shambles. Madison tried, but, you know, one guy out, three, it's not enough.
Yeah, I don't think Madison played well at all.
One guy out of three. Like, if you want my ratings for him, it would be a 6 out of 10. Because he was probably the best of the three.
I don't know what's with him at the moment. Where he doesn't... What was the game before? Because he didn't play badly in that either, but he just, again, just seems to be taking more touches. I'm not sure if it's... Oh, I don't think it could be complacency, but at the same time, you've got to chalk it down to probably just not being match sharp enough yet. I just felt like in that first... The first half of the first half, as we'll call it, we were getting him on the ball quite a lot, and there were times where he could have combined with Son earlier. There was
a few times he could have
released Udogi or Werner out wide earlier, and he doesn't seem to trust Werner. And yeah, okay, I can kind of get wide, but I mean, if you give him the ball early, he actually can be quite dangerous. It felt like he maybe decoyed him a bit to try and slide in Son, and then by the time he got round to that option, then that opportunity was gone. Just the timing and the fluidity and the cohesiveness of our attacks just wasn't there time and time again. And there was a time, I think it was just before the first goal, where we managed to win it up really high in their half. I think it was Bruno G that ended up getting dispossessed. Son ended up on the edge of the box. He could have turned. No one, I'm guessing no one gave him a shout. He could have turned towards goal, but decided to hold it up with no one pressuring him. And then he put Madison, gave him a short ball while he was running towards him. I'm guessing Madison tried to make a run off him, and then they tried to combine sort of, and it just fell apart, and they kind of just counter-attacked us and scored from there. And it was just time and time again where our attacks would break down and the midfield wasn't there to effectively counter-press enough to see get us to prevent these counter-attacks. And yeah, I just think when we take so long to attack sometimes, our midfielders commit forward a little bit too much. And then, obviously, then the attack breaks down and we get countered when the midfielders have already committed to spaces forward, which is, I guess, another instruction that Avengers. So, this isn't necessarily questioning Angers much, although there are adjustments I think he can make, but... Yeah, I think the application of the players are certain individuals who are just out of form at the moment, especially Son as well, by the way, were the main things as to why we lost in the way we did. But that was my take on it. And I can't even lie, I didn't watch much of the second half. Probably watched up to an hour.
I watched the whole game, but I tuned out. I'd absolutely tuned out. By the third goal, I was like, might as well watch Paw Patrol.
And it just speaks to what you said about how we were supposed to react. Like, we could have obviously come out, I say, a little bit better in that second half, and we conceded almost straight away, where, again, like, another attack broke down. We weren't necessarily ready for the turnover, and Isaac's free. He's completely free and in his own half, and he still manages to wriggle free of any of our defenders. Van de Ven wasn't...
That was probably his worst game. But it's so unfortunate that it was his worst game when he was arguably one, outside of the goalkeeper, of course, probably the only player on the pitch that was really trying to get a result for us. And that was our defender. Imagine that. Our actual centre-back was the only player that I can look at and be like, you know what? He had an absolute shocker of a game. But you tried. You were the only one that I genuinely looked at and thought, I find Romero, whatever. But like, Mickey had the shocker that, you know, three of the goals really ran through him. And essentially, for me, he was still the only one that I can be like, you know what? You can walk off that pitch, not be too mad. There are some players on that pitch, if they're here next season, it's going to be long.
Yeah, we got the list going off again in the group chat, don't we? Added a few names, which I've forgotten. Just quickly before we address that, there's Papa Blankson asks, with links to Morgan Gibbs-White. I think that's from Football Insider, though. So
yes,
I'll take it at face value. But with links to Morgan Gibbs-White, hypothetically, do you think we're replacing Football Genius?
Who is Football Genius, by the way?
I don't know.
Because he's put LOL at the end. So who's he referring to as Football Genius? Because that's what I would like to know before I
even... Replacing? That's a good question, actually. We'll fire that one back at you, Papa Blankson.
Yeah, once we know who Football Genius is, then we can answer it. Because I've got a feeling he's referring to Kuyu, but I could be wrong.
Oh, why, have one of us called him a football genius?
Probably Tobias.
Yeah, okay, fair.
He's got some
That's how Toast calls Madison. Okay.
All right. No, I don't think Gibbs-White, if we were to purchase him, he would probably be battling for a place with Madison, but I don't think he would be replacing Madison, if you want my honest opinion. I like what Morton Gibbs-White brings, but I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not particularly jumping over the seams for him. He's 24 years of age. I think what you've seen of him is pretty much the best, or it might get slightly better, I suppose, but I don't think it's going to get ridiculously better where we're like, this was a great purchase. I just think he's a great asset to have, or good asset to have in a strong team.
Fair enough. And yeah, with the likes of Hill probably leaving, on Ndombele will leave. I don't know where, but probably will leave. Tanganga rolled on, who are getting good loan moves, but again, slightly better at that. Lo Celso, probably La Liga, Højbjerg. Everything seems to point to Italy, like his agency based in Italy. Juventus seem to be interested. Reguilón's got a good loan move again. He apparently did quite well at United, but he got frozen up because they thought they had too many left-backs.
Yeah.
And I think they misquoted their squad a little bit. Doing relatively well at Brentford, apart from the sending off, which he was in my FPL team for, the prick, but never mind. This is what pissed me off about the Newcastle game as well, actually. Everyone in my league either had Ortega or Kelleher as their starting goalkeepers, and Dubravka on the bench, and neither Ortega and Kelleher started, and then they just got the Dubravka clean sheet off nothing. He's the worst keeper in the league, man.
Yeah.
And but it's so infuriating that we didn't
take your pick. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't.
Look what Charlison did to him in the reverse fixture.
I know. I know. Absolutely murdered him.
Such pain. Yeah, that was jammy. You said in the chat you don't think we can get more than 70, 80 million. I think if you add Reguilón to the list, which I think, yeah, it's got to be in between 70 or 80 million fairly easily, right?
You say fairly easily, but I'll be honest with you. Like, there's not much money, in European football. And I think European football have become a bit more shrewd with their business. You know, unless you're an absolute superstar, they're just not going to go crazy with the spending. So someone like Reguilon, don't be surprised if we don't even get a bid for him, because nobody's going to really pay 20 million for him. Nobody. He hasn't done enough in recent seasons to even warrant that. You'd be going purely off name, and his name is currently in the bin. So there's no chance we'd be getting 20 million for. If we get 20 million for Reguilon and Højbjerg, literally, if we get like 40 million for just the two of them, some of the greatest business I've ever seen in my life.
I think we can get in around 20 million euros for Højbjerg, but with all the names listed, obviously that was seven. If you include Reguilon, that's an average of, was he 10 million per player. I think that's doable.
That's how I actually averaged it out. I averaged it out around 70, 80 million on the basis of, like, I imagine that most players will probably go for 10 million. There might be a few loans here and there. We might even have to take a complete and utter loss on Ndombele, because I don't know what's happened to this
we
guy.
We might have to take a loss on Ndombele. No, we are. No. We are.
No, we're taking a loss, but we might have to take a, like, we might have to actually do an Ali deal with him where we just tell a club, take him.
There are other players that there are other players that could go. That was a shrewd bit of business by Everton, actually. I think that's why Delhi hasn't played this season, though. People like players like Emerson, Real, and Richarlison as well, who I believe have both actually been pretty useful this season, could well go as well. And I think Richarlison could be worth a little bit, you know.
I feel like, if I'm being brutally honest, if we do get an actual central striker,
yes,
then two things. Actually, if we get I'll answer Papa Blankson's message there. So if we get an actual centre-back like Sikkimen, or Simakan, I think that's how you pronounce it, Simakan, who can play right-back and right centre-back, yes, it would be nice to see Ange switch it up to like a 3-4-3 kind of formation. Kind of thing, which would be sick, you know, especially with the personnel that we got. It could really work. Also, if we did get an out-and-out striker that was, say, competing with Richarlison, listen to me and listen to me good. I'm not really a fan of Richarlison, and I wouldn't mind selling him. But if we didn't, you could have a front three of a new striker, Son on the left, Richarlison on the right. You know, with Richarlison's work ethic, it could. I mean, this season, early in the season, when he was starting on the left, he was actually playing pretty well. If you want my brutal honest opinion, him on the left, he's outside of Perisic, and Perisic only played like two or three games. He's actually been our best left winger.
Richarlison?
Richarlison's actually been our best left winger this whole season. I know Werner might have the stats, but he's actually garbage.
Think it's been Brennan.
No, Brennan, right side.
Yeah, he's probably been our best right-sided player as well, but I think for the left...
Nah, Brennan left side, the only game that sticks to mind is when we played Man City away from home. Everything else smells like garbage.
Arsenal, Palace as well. Mostly there were cameos, really, though. I don't think he started a lot of these
games, over the moon about the Arsenal game. Good game, nothing crazy about... he played on the left against Wolves, started off well, completely tanked. Palace, meh, it's Palace.
Palace away, though. It's usually hard ground. Never mind. Really. I'm sure I can think of more examples as well, but I can't.
I think Richarlison on the left.
For my boy.
Richarlison on the left has been arguably our best left winger. Son up top has been our best striker.
Yes. I mean, for the last part, especially. But arguably, another part. We could probably debate that for the whole podcast. What are the new striker choices for you, Papa Blankson asks? I love... Do you know what? I was thinking of both those names earlier. My choice is either Solanke or Xerxe. They can do the channel runs and hold up play. Yeah, both of these players, although I've only seen a handful of games with Xerxe, both seem to have great feet, especially Xerxe.
I would take Xerxe, I can't pronounce it, in a heartbeat. I won't take Solanke unless he's cheap, and we know he's not gonna be.
Yeah, it's gonna be like people. I think even you might have mentioned that we might be able to get him a good fee because of the whole PSR thing. But
yeah,
that was the case with Everton and Richarlison, and that I don't think was a cheap fee. So
No, Everton and Richarlison wasn't a cheap fee. But what I mean by Solanke is, if it's 40 million, I said 35 in the group, but really and truly, it would be about 40. If it's 40 million, then I'd say trigger it.
What about 50?
No.
If it's 40 and then future fees based on appearances and whatever else, targets, fine, it rises to 50.
Yeah, then I can live with that.
I think I would slightly edge on taking Solanke a bit more than Zach. Probably because, yeah, well, that would be ideal, right?
I'm not even exaggerating. We, like, I know we're going to get more into it as we go into the pod, yeah, but honestly, like, there, either we go out and get two, not call them monster, but, like, you know, strong strikers, yeah? And we kind of like circumnavigate the wing position for a season, or go out and get two wingers, a six and two centre-backs, or a centre-back and a right-back, sorry. That's what I meant to say.
What are the priority of positions you'd want us to fill?
The first position that needs to be... Yeah, no, you're right.
Full-back / centre-back.
The first position we definitely need to fill is six.
That's the highest priority.
Basuma is done.
Yeah, what is his deal?
I don't care. I don't care.
Awful again off the ball. If
I don't care. You know me.
Don't know what we're alluding to, but
listen, wow. Listen. I do not care. He's done. Yeah, he's done. He had everything was handed to Basuma to literally take off. Started off fantastic. Got his red card against Luton, and it has been in the pits of hell ever since. So I don't really have much sentimental value towards him. He can either touch the bench for next season and earn his place back, or he can be sold. I couldn't care less. I want a six.
Very fair. Okay. And season, obviously, then it will probably go forward line, wide forward or striker, then full back, and then second choice keeper, I guess, in priority order.
I'd go six, wide striker or forward, ideally a striker. Then I'll go centre back as my third priority.
Mm-hmm.
Right back as fourth priority, and then probably another wide player like a young wide player. That's a fifth option.
Yeah, I'm sure Noosa is still available. Nico Williams, maybe. I just want to say as well.
Apparently, Nico, I could tell you what the list is of like who we've been attached to. So,
okay, yeah.
We've been linked to Sesko, Xerxes, Solanke, Olmo, Nico Williams, Noosa again. Sickerman.
So many different profiles.
I don't know if I would call them so many different profiles if you want me to be brutally honest. I think a lot of them are well within the remit of what we're looking for.
Yeah, I think I just mean in terms of like the forward line. I was expecting you to name like wingers or forwards, and then it went Olmo. It's like, oh, okay, attacking midfielder.
Yeah.
Who I'd love as a Olmo would also be great. Simikin seems really, really good, and he could probably play inverted right back or centre back, either or. Yeah, promising names. It looks like we're doing just doing our due diligence with the scouting and just having a load of options for each position.
Who would you have as a six?
As a six, I would definitely look into Kakare at Lyon. From what I've seen, it's not going to happen, but I'd love either one of Douglas Luiz or Bruno G.
Okay.
I would only see the whole Douglas Luiz thing happens if we turn around to Emery and be like, look, here's Lo Celso. You love him. That and this fee, it's a very long shot. And then Newcastle obviously have their PSR things. They'll probably have to sell someone for a big fee if they want to kick on, and that would either probably be Isak or Bruno G.
What I hear of the Newcastle lot, they don't actually have to sell. It's they can't buy.
There's me being optimistic then.
Yeah.
I like the look of Billy Gilmore, but I just have questions of how he is off the ball.
Yeah.
And I'd have to probably do more scouting just around Europe, because I'm sure there's a name there. I think this Goodmanson guy who plays in
he's one.
Italy for Genoa keeps on getting mentioned, but I don't know how he is as a six. Like, it seems like he's like an all-action kind of box-to-box great player from what I've heard of and very, very briefly seen. As a six, it's a very, obviously, niche specialist role, isn't it? So,
yeah.
I'm not sure. What were you thinking of a six?
So you're pretty much aware of who I've said in the group. So Douglas Luiz, Bruno G. If we're gonna spend, we should spend wisely. And you know, I wouldn't mind going for Prem Proven, and those are the two that would be Prem Proven. But my wild card, which might shock everyone, because it's gonna shock everyone. My wild card. Because I've been watching a lot of like what's going on in the Bundesliga.
Okay.
Young Kimmich, you might not be so young anymore, but I was like, hey, Bayern Munich, they look like they're falling apart. Like, so I'm like, I'll take, you know. Oh, I see Papa Blacks has said Palacios from Leverkusen. I haven't seen much of him, to be fair. Edison, who we're linked to from Atalanta. Again, I haven't seen much of him. Onana, no, don't want it.
Whoa. Well, I'm glad you said that. I was actually open to the idea of Onana, and then what is that? Oh, gosh, against Chelsea. My goodness.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. He had a stinker.
he got hooked. He was, and this is a good stinker. Chelsea midfield.
Wow.
This is like Conor Gallagher and Casado absolutely bossed that midfield.
They had him on a stretcher. I said, they caused him a ram. Onana, anybody by that name can never come to my club.
I've got to say, Gallagher, like, obviously he was helped a lot.
No, don't do that.
He had a great game. He did it. He had a good game.
I couldn't care less. He's another one that's an utter no. If I see him, Onana, I'll be mad, but I can probably, like, give him time. Mm. But if I see Conor Gallagher, I'm done.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, still need to talk with Mr. Soft on that one. I feel like it'll be a therapy session. I just wanted to say on the forward as well, I don't think Solanke gets enough credit for how clinical he is.
He's only recently become clinical. It's not like his career has been like that.
I don't know. In the Championship, he was obviously quite clinical.
We know the step up is insane.
Yeah, it takes a while to adjust. Tony's the same, and he's become like a good striker now. We'll see how his career pans out. It's all a little bit in the dark about where he'll go at the moment, much like background.
Solanke's been in the Prem 18-19. I don't know what years he was with Bournemouth, but he's been in the Prem 18-19. The years that he was in the Championship, he was 42 games, 15 goals. You know, nothing too great, 8 assists. And then 2021, 2022, he was 46 games, 29 goals. That's a quality return. Came back to the Premier League, 33 games, 6 goals.
Yep.
And now he's back up.
Look great.
You know, and then this season is 32 and 17. It's not enough for me. It's, you know, for me, he would... If we're getting Solanke, we have to get another player. I'm sorry. There's no way I'm blowing any sort of budget to get Solanke.
I like him a lot. I can't even lie. Like, I just see Bournemouth, they barely create chances for the guy, and he's still putting up those numbers.
And yeah, but he's
still a good team player as well.
But then we're falling into this whole bracket of, okay, so we're falling into the, I'll use Kane as an example. People were like, Spurs don't really create that much for Kane. No, we used to actually funnel 90% of our attacks through to actually help Kane, and you know what his goal scoring record was underneath us. It was ridiculous. He goes to Bayern, obviously do the same with far better players and a less competitive league, and he's still firing. So Spurs wasn't a problem in terms of creating.
What cost?
Okay, well, such is life, you know. but Spurs wasn't a problem in terms of creating chances for Kane. And obviously he's gone to a better team and he's still scoring on all cylinders. I don't think Solanke comes to Spurs and just because there's a jump up in terms of chances created, he then jumps up from, say, 17 to 20 goals a season. I honestly don't see it. I think he's a good Premier League striker that could get you between 10 to 15 goals a season, which is what we thought we were getting with Richarlison or Toby for.
I was just seeing how many goals Xerxes got, because the other advantage with Xerxes as well, like, we play in a similar, very similar way to Thiago Motta's side. Yeah. And this season, he's, is that, surely not 12. I don't know. Solanke's not enough here. I don't know how much this is going to be. I think it's 12. 12 league goals. Obviously, playing in a very similar system to what we play now. And
far younger. That's where I can give him leeway.
Exactly. Although I don't mind spending money on the player at his peak, as long as we can get like 4 to 5 potentially very good years out of the player. I think it's a given. But at the same time, I think Arsenal should get Solanke. Like, that would be silly if not.
They want.
Yeah.
They want Isaac.
Oh, okay, yeah. So it's 10 league goals and 4 assists. So 14 goal contributions in 30 games.
Not too
while
bad.
Still, well, see, he's a 22-year-old, so it's still not bad, to be fair.
It's 1 in 2, so he's back for he's young in striker years, you know, considering the fact that what I see Papa Blankson say, we could send 45 million and plus Valise on loan to Bournemouth. I don't know if they'll take that, but that sounds like a great offer, to be fair.
Yeah. And you would be happy with that as well?
Like I said, if it's 40, I don't really want to spend 45 flat on Solanke. But if you can, you know, work out something, I don't know, 35 with 10 add-ons or 15 add-ons and Valise on loan all day.
Fair dues. It's been interesting to see some of the takes on that kind of future planning, especially on the forward line. And obviously, shout out to Kane as well. Like you mentioned, he was firing on all cylinders for a Bayern team that plays through him. They just beat Arsenal in the semi-finals. And I think Eric Dier might have even got man of the match for the second leg.
It was quarter final. No, he shouldn't have even. Man of the match for the first leg, maybe. He could have been in the first shot, but not
that second. I thought he was better in the second leg.
Nah. Kimmich was the guy. Actually, no, it wasn't. It was Lime. Lime was the guy in the second leg. That he was absolutely outstanding.
Absolutely. I thought he had a few wobbly moments, actually. I'd give it Kimmich.
Yeah, he did have the key moment, and he was great as well, to be fair.
I don't think he's joining us, by the way. Wouldn't be mad at him joining if he was to join, but
I'm not going to lie to you. I've literally been watching, not because of Kane, I've actually been watching because I want to see what kind of players leave because of the season that they've had. And Bayern are in real issues. Like, there's a lot of arrest with the players. The players don't like Tuchel. Tuchel's going in June, but that hasn't really changed the tune of a lot of players.
It's funny because the two top candidates to replace Tuchel have turned them down.
Exactly.
Nagelsmann has just signed with Germany. Alonso stayed on at Leverkusen.
Exactly. So it's creating not looking a dynasty. Good. It's not looking good, bruv. Really? Yeah, mate. And look, this is a team that, you know, obviously they flipping signed Eric Dier. What message are you sending to your fans?
He's redeemed himself.
Has he?
Yeah. He knocked out Arsenal. Champions League semi-final.
Well, he found out who slapped his brother.
Doesn't need to. He slapped Arsenal.
Nah. Unless you find out who slapped your brother, there's no redemption. Kane, you can't let some brother. Oh, and let me pose this to you. I've come into your house and slapped your little one, and you've never got me back. Impossible. Look at how your eyebrow even went. You're like, I would have got you back. I would have got you back 100%. Eric Dier went into the crowd and asked everybody, "Who did it?" And everyone was like, "You," and walked away. No, he hasn't redeemed himself.
Fair. With that all said as well, if obviously Kimmich was to join us or not. I think that heavily leans on us getting Champions League football or not. Do you care if we got Champions League football or not, though? Just obviously seeing today, like, oh, Europa League doesn't actually have Champions League teams drop down into the competition, thus making it easier to win.
Doesn't make it easier to win, but cool.
I was trying to think if Sevilla kept on dropping out the Champions League to then just go into the Europa League and win it, or were they just in the Europa League the whole time?
No, the early years of it, they were just in the Europa League, and then I think the last few times they won it, they actually dropped out into the competition and just slapped up everyone because it's their cup. But I do, if I'm being brutally, I don't sit on the fence of, oh, we're not prepared enough for Champions League. I think that's absolute nonsense. Like, if you qualify for the Champions League, you have an entire summer to plan correctly for it. Correct. So I don't really sit on the whole, we're not prepared for the Champions League. But if we did not get Champions League and we got Europa, I wouldn't be upset with it either, especially with the way that the tournament is going back to how it used to be back in the day. That part I can feel like, all right, cool. Yeah, now we can have a real shot at a European competition and win it like we did back in the day. But no, if my honest opinion is, if there's a shot for us to make it to the Champions League, make it to the Champions League. Especially with the way we budget.
That's very fair. That's very fair. JG says, are we going to talk about Madison's recent performances? We have to be fair. As I say, I can't really.
It was poor. If you've missed it, it was poor.
Cool. I didn't think he was bad against Nottingham Forest, but my word, he should have been sent off, to be fair.
Okay. So should Yates, but
oh mate, Yates in that reverse fixture. Don't even start. He deserved that punch in the gut. But
yep.
At the same time, gotta keep the energy the same. And Bissouma got sent off in that fucking reverse leg as well. He's not been the same. Especially off the ball, man.
He's been stinking. Like I said, I'm happy to go into next season without Bissouma starting as our number six. That's my opinion.
Yeah, fair. I mean, if these performances keep up, who knows? Hopefully, Sarr can come in fresh off Ramadan for our next fixture, which we'll preview. It's obviously a big one, North London Derby at home. I'm quietly confident for that. Obviously, we'll preview it more next week. But Arsenal have got to play two more times. So that'll be the third fixture they play before we have to play them. They look flat as it is. So I think that kind of brings the skill gap a bit closer. Like, obviously, they're quite clear of us at the moment. But yeah, they're flat. Arteta's not really using the fringe players. So yeah, quietly confident for that. But again, we'll get into it. There's been more talk about how our kind of forward line should be kind of prioritised and should look next season. And there's been talk, especially amongst Ali Gold, whose work I do typically like. I do like listening to him and watching his videos. But he said, as almost pretty much an absolute, that Son will be the starting left winger next season. 32. Can he do that? Can he be Salah?
I don't think he can be our Salah, but he can definitely start at left wing. Like, I'm not really worried about Son going back out to left wing. I think this season was a bit different in the sense of, for most games, he was far better up top. But in recent games, we've just realised Richarlison's actually better at holding up the ball and linking up with players than Son is in certain games, especially when the game is more open. It's Son's bag, you know, like he can, you know, finding space in behind, and then it's all hectic from there. If he's starting as our left winger next year, then that for me suggests two things. We might circumnavigate getting a winger in the summer, not go all out. You know, we might get a youngster like a Nusa maybe, you know, that can also play in those roles. And it also means that I feel like we're going out and out for a striker, as you know, you alluded to earlier, which would be good. That's what we need. We need a nine. We need an actual, a real problematic nine. And I will say this, if Son is in the left wing position, those crosses that Johnson was putting in for Werner, I'd have more faith in, you know, the end product with Son getting on the back end of those as opposed to Werner. But if Son is going to be our starting left winger for next season, and I'm hoping this means we're not triggering the Werner deal, because that guy's garbage. He is absolutely trash. I'm not falling for it.
I'm not that keen on Son being left wing, I can't lie. I think he's lost a little bit of a yard of pace. He barely can dribble past the man. I guess you'd have to, you could make concessions, whereas when we in the opposition half, Maddison can float out to the left and let Son drift into the middle.
We don't need Son to dribble past anyone, by the way. Just fashion space and whip it. And we know he can do that.
Can he?
Yeah.
I've only ever seen him do it really against
Newcastle. Because he hasn't been asked to. He hasn't actually been asked to. But we know Son, left foot or right foot, if he fashion space, he can whip it.
I don't know. This wing games, he started out on left wing this season, though.
Yeah, but most of those games, we've been looking to play him in behind. His game on the left wing this season, as opposed to what has probably been asked of Werner, two different things. Two completely different things. Werner has been clearly told, use your pace. Get to the byline, cross it. Doesn't even do that fantastically well.
Boy. Okay, fair enough. I think that will wrap up our pod, unless there's any other questions in the chat. Looks like we've covered everything. Again, Yao, thank you for joining me on the nice evening, well fatigued.
Yeah.
Again, look out for our content at New Spurs Order on X/Twitter, on Instagram, on TikTok. Audio form for this will come out every Saturday morning, so you'll be able to listen to this. We'll see later on. The YouTube video will be up as well on the Touchline Fracker YouTube channel. But for now, big up New Spurs Order, come on New Spurs, and peace.
Peace.
And this has opened up for Maddison! A thing of beauty! Johnson.
Sports Social Podcast Network.